People wrote things that they felt like other people were afraid of, and with that, I've got a pretty good list and an understanding of some of the things that they are afraid of. And we all have fear. We have to deal with fear. This man that we read about here who was unacceptable was someone who had fear. He said, "I was afraid." And in this instance that Jesus gives us in Matthew 25, it's in reference to a person using their abilities. He failed to use his ability, and he said and thought this would be sufficient to say, "I was afraid." I got a granddaughter who's 11 years old. And sometimes, you know, she's afraid. But it's usually not of some of the common things like you think. Because she'll run up to me with a snake. And she's not afraid of the dark. But she sometimes says, "I was afraid," when it comes to things the teachers at school wanted her to do. Well, I was afraid to do that. In fact, right now, her mom and dad just got through with teacher conferences of the teachers telling her parents that she doesn't do things or she doesn't participate. Well, is fear a good reason? Well, this man said, "I was afraid," and so he went and dug in the ground and hid the talent in the ground. Now, what's the problem with the ground? Whatever you put in the ground, guess what? Dirty, right? You ever dig in the dirt? What happens? You come out a little bit dirty, and whatever you put in there gets dirty. So he went and put his talent in the ground. It got dirty. But he thought this would be a really secure place. Now, the question is, and something to remember, the question is, what is a talent? Now, if I say, "Well, what's your talent?" and I say that to say one of the Johns, they could say, "Well, my talent is speaking, my talent is leading singing, my talent is doing this or doing that." Well, that can be referenced as a talent, but what we're talking about here is something that somebody could have at that day and time put in their pocket. In my case, I've got a balloon. That was not the good thing there. It's not a talent. A talent was something of value, and it was very valuable. In fact, someone has said that a talent had a weight of about 75 pounds because it's indicating a weight, and probably in silver. If it was gold, it's even more valuable than silver, but it's a lot. And so he was given the master's money, so to speak, his value to increase the value. And the man that got five, he did that. The man that did two, he did that. But the one talent man did not do so. And adults, as you look at the screen here, you can see that in Scripture, in Revelation, we have hailstones being considered the weight of a talent. So that gives you an idea of the usage of the word. Kids probably won't remember that. Other than I want them to remember, it's not necessarily talking about their abilities. He had abilities, but it's talking about a certain weight or sum of money. Now, how many of you have ever been afraid? Well, we all have. How many of you have ever seen this movie? Sometimes people watch it this time of year. I have to admit, it's one of my favorites. The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. Am I the only one here that's seen this movie? It's a good movie. When I was at Green Valley Bible Camp, they used to show it one of the nights at Bible Camp. And of course, it's dark. And that adds to the excitement of the movie for the kids. The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. And Mr. Don Knotts did a wonderful job showing what it really means to be frightened. Because that word frightened is a word which means to be terrified. Have y'all ever been terrified? Scared? Anybody ever jump out at you and go, "Boof"? I do that to Kathy. She'll be coming around the corner and I'll go, "Boof." And that caused her to jump and I laugh and she looks at me with the look. Yeah, then I'm scared. That's right. He's got it right. Has he done this to you? Yes, he probably has. The kids understand this. Well, Don Knotts pictured what it means to be terrified. It's a terrifying situation when you want to run. And that's oftentimes this type of fear that we have mentioned here. It's interesting in Scripture that Elijah was a man who was afraid. And he did exactly that. Scripture says he ran for his life. And the reason why, he had Jezebel, and she did not like him at all. And so she was out to kill him. And I can assure you, if someone is out to kill me, I would definitely run. Now, a few times, I thought my dad was going to do the job. But But we knew better than to run from him, because if he caught us, he's just liable to, you know, kill us. Not literally, of course. But he had let us know we did not do the proper thing. He had a belt that he liked to use for discipline, and it worked pretty good. But in this case, Elijah's literally running for his life. So he is fearful, he's afraid, and so he runs for his life. Kind of like this depicted here. Little guy being chased by a big old ugly dinosaur. Well, it's a good thing that they're all in the ground with dirt on top of them, and they're dirty with the dirt, and they got bones of few in museums, so we don't have to worry about those, do we? But this is depicting what it means to be afraid. And what would you do if you were this little guy out here in the front? Would you yell help like he's doing? Very likely, yeah, because that is what you can do. Well, here's something I want to share with the younger people tonight. Did you all know that adults are afraid sometimes? Did you know that? I had a young lady come up to me this morning talking about fear, and she made a confession. And I'm not going to name her name because she didn't want me to share her name. She may not even want me to share this. But she said she was afraid of birds. Now, how many of y'all are afraid of birds? Only bird I can think of about being afraid of is the parrot that bit me that time. Well, it's a real fear for her, wasn't it? And it is a real fear. Adults have real fears. I should have had the adults fill out a list tonight, too. Because they have their fears. We've got adults here that are afraid of sharks. And it's a good thing we live in Missouri, because there's not a whole lot to worry about, because they don't swim in our lakes and rivers. That's a good thing. But they've been to places like Florida that have these signs, beware of sharks. And isn't it amazing to you, adult, that when you go to a place like that and you go to look at the beautiful beach, that you see these signs, beware of shark, and there are people out there swimming anyway? Is there something wrong there? If I see that sign, I'm not going. But people are afraid of sharks, and I have to get in that line. And I learned some things as I was doing some research for this lesson tonight. I found out that adults have a great fear of expiration dates. Did y'all know that? Do we have adults here tonight that are afraid of expiration dates on food? There we go. Got some confessions going on. Yeah, adults fear expiration dates. This is one that I was amazed. This is in the top 10 list of fears for adults. And that's swallowing gum. Ron, you're smiling. Nobody wants all that gum living in your body for 7 years, right? That's the myth that goes around about gum. It stays in your body for 7 years. You're not spitting your gum out right now, are you? Yeah, adults are afraid of swallowing gum. Well, are kids ever afraid? Yes, we are born with certain fears. Now, where they come from is an interesting discussion. Sometimes they're learned, sometimes they just seem to be there. But there are things that we are afraid of, adults and kids. For example, can you tell me what this boy is screaming about? Spiders. Anybody here afraid of spiders? Well, it just happens to be on our list. Several that wrote down their fears wrote down spiders. Good. That's good that you're not afraid. You think this little girl here is afraid of spiders? Think so. How about afraid of the dark? Anybody here afraid of the dark? Yeah, some of us. I would like for the adults, if you would, just very carefully, not to experience some irreverence in our worship tonight, but if you're afraid of the dark, would you raise your hand? How many of you leave the light on even though you're not raising your hand? Yeah. Anybody got night lights at their house? Uh-huh. Adults and kids are afraid of the dark. What about snakes? Well, on this list, snakes are right there along with frogs. We got some kids afraid of frogs. And there are some snakes that you want to be afraid of. Now, obviously, back here, these kids are not afraid of this. I'm not sure what kind of snake it is. It's a big one. But obviously, there's nothing to be afraid of, because what are they doing? Now, the only thing that would concern me, we got four kids holding that snake. If there had been five that started out, I'd get a little concerned. But there's only four. And they seem to be doing just fine with that snake. But this snake is one you don't want to get near. Anybody know the name of this snake? Cobra. Cobra. I've seen these in India when I was over there. And it's amazing what people will do with these snakes. And I wasn't going to get anywhere close. And you'd see kids over there doing this. These are kids in India. This picture was taken in India. And they are way too close. And can you count how many of them are there? Three of these snakes that were seen in the picture. I would not want to be too close. Well, how many of you have ever been afraid waking up from a dream or during your dreams get scared? What do we call those dreams? Nightmares. Scripturally, we read about a man who had a dream, and Nebuchadnezzar said, I had a dream that made me afraid. Well, sometimes I have dreams that make me afraid. One of them, I was in an airplane that was crashing. Why I dreamed that, I do not know. But it caused me to wake up in fear. We have nightmares. Is there anybody here that hasn't experienced one? I know some people have said to not have nightmares. Well, we might have those. Well, what do we do when we have a nightmare? Well, Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in his house, and he was flourishing his house, and he says, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts of my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. We can wake up and start being really concerned about the dream, right? So what do we do? Well, there's some answers. What can we do when we're afraid and we wake up from a dream? Well, how about we just shut our eyes? Does that work?
No.
What do you... What's funny? Okay, well, distract your mind. That's good. Okay, closing eyes may not help. How about this? Covering your eyes. Does that work?
No.
Nope. How about burying your head underneath a pillow? I have to admit that this is my behavior. Grab the pillow and just cover my head up. But it doesn't work too well. When I was little, I used to do this. I'd run and scream and run to my mom and dad. And they were not very happy with running and screaming there, but if all worked out, I got to do this. Anybody ever do this? Well, it's good because they went to a place of comfort. So when we have fears, we can deal with them or we can ignore them, but whatever we do, we've got to reckon with them, don't we? You can't just say, well, you have to somehow deal with your fears, and that's important. Because you see, in life, things do happen that makes us afraid. We have an account in the book of Jonah. How many of y'all remember the story of Jonah? What swallowed Jonah?
Whale.
Big whale. Correct.
A
big giant whale fish thing. It was a big fish, in other words, Scripture says. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And this is the ship that Jonah's on. And it's interesting what happened. We know the story about the big fish that we called the whale. But I want us to look at what happens before then, because it helps us deal with our fears. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? What's he doing? Sleeping. He's ignoring the situation. Can you ignore things that make us afraid? No, sometimes we have to face them. We have to deal with them. And it's interesting in this passage of Scripture that we read these words, arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Do you see some good advice right there? Adults, what happens when we face our fears? We can go through discussions about them. We can talk to people about them. We can turn to others. But who do we want to turn to, number one?
God.
Exactly right. Good. We can pray about it. It might be that you've been given the job of preaching one Sunday, gentlemen, and you haven't done it before. We've had some young men do that here. How do you face your fears? One of the easy things is to say, no, I'm not doing it. But that doesn't get you there, does it? But if you turn to God, can we find help and strength from God? Can these young people find strength from seeking out their parents? Can they seek help from God. Yes, they can. It's a lesson to carry through life. Verse 6 says, so the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Rise, call on your God. And what's this young lady here doing? Praying. Calling upon God. Now, here's something we need to know also when we consider fear, is that fear is not necessarily always a bad thing. This morning we talked about being afraid of heights to the point that we don't step off into the Grand Canyon. Good advice not to step off in the Grand Canyon, right? Some things that we're afraid of are good for us, especially those things that cause danger. If you can kind of see here, the caution sign is up in reference to an archery grounds. If you've got folks out there shooting archery arrows to targets, do you want to run across in front of them? That would scare me to death, so to speak. Well, caution says, no, I've got to think this through. I'm not going to run in front of those arrows. It's like Mom and Dad says, when you're crossing the road, look what? Both ways. So you won't get run over. That's good practice. It's good to be cautious. You see, fear can be a good thing biblically. We're told that easily in Luke chapter 1, verse 49. Mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. We talked about the fear of God this morning. Fear of God is good because it leads us to do what's right. And then we get to experience the love and the mercy of God, the good part of God. But it might start with just simply being afraid because we don't want to be lost. I found it interesting that these kids put on their paper this evening, what do you fear? What are others afraid of? And somebody put, going to hell. They've been taught a little bit, haven't they? That's a good fear to have, because if it starts there, we don't want to go there. We're going to do what God wants us to do. And that fear is good. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Well, I want to talk quickly, before our time goes completely away, about the guy who was afraid. He was given, according to his ability, some essentially money that he was to take and reproduce. Now, a five-talent man, he made five more and so forth. And each according to ability was able to prosper. Five and then two. But the one-talent man, he just decided, no, I'm going to just put it in the ground. Why? Because of his Lord. In his supposed fear of his Lord, he being a servant of the master. And when that master came to settle accounts, he said, so he who had received five talents came and brought five others. And Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more. The two-talent man, I've gained two more talents besides these. And then the one-talent man, what does he do? Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, or as the new American Standard said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And so I have gained for you how many talents? This was a question for our young people tonight as well as adults. How many talents did he gain? He really gained what? A big fat zero, because what did he do with the one that he had that he could have used to gain more? He put it in the ground. And all he did was get it dirty, right? Didn't help anybody anywhere. He just put it in the ground, and so he gained zero. Now here's the question. Is fear an excuse for not doing what is expected? The teacher gives you homework and you say to the teacher, well, I was afraid to do it, so I just didn't do it. And I knew you didn't want to put big fat zeros on my paper and lots of red marks, so I just didn't even do it so you wouldn't have to worry about writing anything on it. Does that work? What are you going to end up getting? Big fat zero, right? Yeah, and lots of time out. You ever have those time outs? Okay. Yeah, see, that's not an excuse. Fear has never been an excuse. To say I was afraid is not going to work. And even though he preserved the one, he didn't put it at risk, he did not do. And what did the master say about the servant? He said, you wicked, and what's the word?
Lazy.
Lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant. Is that an excuse? Mom says, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need your help. And you say, okay, and don't do it. And you say, Mom, I was really afraid to do that. Is Mom going to buy that? Not usually. And what would she might say to you? You were just... She probably might use the term lazy. You just didn't do it. So the master says, well, you should have put my money into the bankers. Put it in the bank. What would have happened in the bank? At least had been able to draw interest with that, receive my back with my own interest. But no, he refused to do it. And so what he had was taken away. He did not benefit his master, nor did he benefit himself. Now, do y'all see this room right here? Does this look like any of your kids' rooms, parents? Kathy, remember when our girls were still at home? What's this look like? It could have been their picture. I remember one time going down the hallway and I was getting ready to go talk to my youngest daughter, and Kathy says, you don't want to open that door. And I did anyway. And so that weekend we had an event going on in our house called Clean Your Room. Well, this room needs to be clean, right? Things are a mess. And so the girl says, we were afraid of the spiders. Oh, you found the spider. I was going to ask you if you see the spider. Well, even if there's a spider in there, is that a good excuse? Because usually spiders are more afraid of you than you're afraid of them. And what do? When you get close to them? They run. Well, we hope not. But that's not an excuse, is it? In fact, this spider is not even real. Even though it's kind of moving, it's not real. Does she really have a good excuse? No, she doesn't. They have not done what they should have done. And excuses never work. Saul, King Saul of the Old Testament, he made excuses. And adults can remember this account, 1 Samuel 15. He was to go utterly destroy all the people and everything there in the cities to show that God was in control. But Saul did not take the leadership and refused to do so. So he came back with an excuse. And do you remember the excuse? Well, here it is on the screen. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Was that a good excuse? No, not at all. It was not a valid excuse. He had sinned. And it's interesting in verse 24, then Samuel said to Saul, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men. And so I gave in to them. And when you study that account, what's interesting, it would be like John, right there in the blue shirt. Y'all see John? Now, when he stands up, he's a pretty good fella. It'd be like him saying, well, I didn't do that because I was afraid of Rick. Well, John's a whole lot bigger, and if it came down to an issue of fear, I would be afraid of him. And there was probably a day and time I would have had good reason based on what John told me. Is that okay if I tell that, John? You're all right. But John has changed his life in living for the Lord, and so I don't fear John like that. But Saul was a big guy. And he was also king. So did he really have an excuse when he said, well, I was afraid of the people? Whatever he ordered would have happened. He could have had anybody he wanted to put in prison. So is this really an excuse? To give in to them? Should we allow other people to cause us to do things wrong? No. Do kids at school ever try to get you to do things wrong? Sometimes. So you don't give in. You do the right thing. Saul didn't, and he had no excuse. And you can say, well, I was afraid. But that's not a good enough excuse, is it? His excuse, I was afraid, was not functional. But there's something I want to end this lesson with. It's the latter part of the story. Because it's the good news, right? To those who took with their ability, what was given from the master, they went to work and they doubled it. So it'd be like if I gave you $5 and I said, next month, I want to see what you can do with it. And he starts mowing yards and he comes back and he says, I've made $5 more. $500 would be even better, wouldn't it? But, am I going to be happy about that? Of course. Was the master happy when those that he gave funds to doubled their funds? Look what we read. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And I love these words. Enter thou into the joy, that's the King James Version. Enter into, the New King James. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the joy. What Jesus is doing is teaching us that when we use our abilities to serve Him, that there is reward if we serve Him faithfully. And it's going to be a great joy. Did y'all have fun this afternoon? I certainly did. I was very tempted to crawl into that tire swing. I had fun. I had more joy, though, when I saw these young people answering questions about the Bible. That brought some real heartfelt joy to see them stand there answering hard questions. And thinking about things that are right. And I am going to rejoice, hopefully one day with the Lord, but one of the rejoicing things that I look forward to is to enjoy seeing each and every one of you in heaven. Because there together, we're going to have joy. And God gives us a glimpse of that now so we can have somewhat of the joy in our hearts right now today. When we're pleasing to God and do what He wants, we can enjoy living the Christian life. In fact, it is a life of real joy, spiritual joy, a joy that's not even understood in the world. And so tonight, we're going to think about, as we close, are you enjoying the joy of the Lord? Are you looking forward to hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I hope so. But if you're here and not yet a Christian, you've not yet committed your life to the Lord by being baptized into Christ, having repented of your sins and made that confession that Jesus is the Christ, then we're going to encourage you to do it. And if you've been living on your own without being faithful to the Lord, why not come home to the Lord? Come to the place of joy. Serving Him, using your abilities so that we're all prepared for heaven. Tonight, if we can assist you, why not make that known as we stand and sing? Would you come?